to die. WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, postage stamps, and library books, there is no due date, postage due, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 29th of January, 2020. My name is Arthur, and this morning I'm going to be playing a couple of radio dramas here. The first half of the show, because I went and saw some tanks this weekend at the museum. American Heritage Museum. I'm going to be playing episode 13 of Cloak and Dagger. This one is titled Recommendation from Rommel, with an original air date of the 6th of July, 1950.
It was a suitcase.
Are you willing to undertake a dangerous mission behind the enemy lines, knowing you may never return alive?
What you have just heard is the question asked during the war to agents of the OSS, ordinary citizens who to this question answered, yes.
This is Cloak and Dagger.
Black warfare, espionage, international intrigue. These are the weapons of the OSS. Today's story, Recommendation from Rommel, about an American OSS agent in Italy who almost outsmarted himself, is suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. A story that can now be told.
Hey, come back here. You can't leave me here. I demand to see someone in authority. Let me out of here.
Brother, that was some spot to be in. Me, Joe Donato, in a jail cell in Milan, Italy. It was crazy. Well, after a while, I got tired of yelling. So I sat down on a narrow prison cot and thought back to the way it had begun. On a train from Varese to Milan. The French underground had smuggled me from Lyon across Switzerland, and I made my way over the border. From there on, I was on my own, posing as an Italian chocolate salesman. So I sat back in my compartment, lit a European cigarette, and blew smoke rings over my head to the rack, where my shortwave radio was hidden in one of the suitcases. All of a sudden, the train gave a lurch. One of my suitcases took a flying dive to the floor. It was a suitcase with a penknife scar across the leather handle, the one with the radio. I was glad I was alone in that compartment. I couldn't wait to find out if that radio was all right. You see, the case was lined with a false backing of boxes of chocolates to hide the radio. I unfastened the backing, and there was the radio. It was okay. Nothing was broken. And then before I could refasten the backing, I heard voices outside the compartment door. I didn't have time to refasten the backing. I had just enough time to slam the case shut again, slide it back up on the rack, and get back in my seat.
Major, what is this? I was under the impression this compartment was reserved for me alone.
There must be some mistake, Herr Field Marshal.
There was a mistake, all right. My mistake in picking the one compartment on the train that had been chosen for Field Marshal Rommel.
Dumkopf, what is the meaning of this?
I do not know, Senor Major. That has been a mistake, a grave mistake.
Do not tell me of mistakes. This is your stupidity. You had your orders.
No, I instructed the train guard very carefully.
Be still. I will not have this disturbance, you understand?
Yes, Your Excellency.
I am sorry if I have been the cause of this. I assure you it was quite unintentional. I will take my suitcases and leave immediately.
Va, it is best. You leave. I will find you another compartment.
No, wait. It is unnecessary, conductor. The gentleman is already here. There's room for both of us. We Germans and Italians must share. Is it not so?
Oh, Perhaps you would prefer your privacy. It is nothing for me to move.
No, I will not hear of it. Sit where you are. Actually, I would welcome company. I detest train rides. Major,
yes,
arrange
Excellency.
A table for me in the dining car.
Yes, Your Excellency. You are stupid, conductor. Next time, pay attention to orders.
I do not know how this happened.
Such a fuss over nothing. Tell me your name.
Oh, my name is Donato, Giuseppe Donato, Your Excellency.
Hmm. Where are you headed for, Signor Donato?
Oh, I am getting off at Milano.
Oh, I see. Well, we shall have time to get acquainted. Be at your ease.
Time to get acquainted. Great. What are we going to talk about? Maybe I could get the conversation started by saying, Herr Field Marshal Rommel.
Yes.
It might interest you to know that I am an OSS spy. I am in Italy to radio back information on your northern supply concentrations.
You say you are a chocolate salesman?
My office is in Verona. Here is my card.
But I'm not in the market for chocolate. You may put the card back.
Oh, here.
You drop this. Your medical classification in the fascisti army?
Grazie. That was a great disappointment to me, Your Excellency. But you see, an old back injury kept me out of the army.
You must not blame yourself for something you cannot help.
Still, it is a great disappointment.
Yes, I understand.
Your Excellency.
Yes, Major.
Your table in the dining room, it is ready.
Ah, yeah. Lange. I will return soon, Signor Donato. We will continue our conversation.
We had talked 10 minutes, and I aged 10 years. I wondered if I should change compartments before he came back. No, that might seem suspicious. I looked out of the window. The green rolling hills of citrus and olive trees didn't tell me anything. I just crossed my fingers and hoped we were coming into Milan soon.
You, Donato.
What do you want with me?
I do not want anything with you. The Field Marshal wants to see you, and you'd better be quick about it.
Oh, see.
No, leave your suitcases. Just come with me, quickly.
You wanted to see me, Your Excellency?
Yes. Sit down. There, opposite me.
Oh, grazie.
I thought about you after I left the compartment, Signor Donato.
Si?
Would you care to join me for coffee, Signor? It would be my pleasure.
Coffee with Field Marshal Rommel. Wait till I tell the gang back home about this, I thought. There was a man across the aisle. A dapper little guy with a waxed mustache. He and Rommel nodded to each other. And then the dapper little old guy kept watching me. Watching me.
Yeah. I never can get used to this Italian coffee with all its chicory. I don't suppose I ever will.
I would naturally have a fondness for it. I have had it all my life.
Where was your home originally?
In Urbino.
Oh, the birthplace of Raphael.
My family is still living there.
Yeah?
Would you like to see some snapshots, Your Excellency?
Yes, I would very much.
They are right here in my wallet. Ah, I hear. You see that little farm in the valley?
Oh,
it
yes.
is here, you see?
Uh-huh. This a huge image. The pretty child. Who is she?
My sister Francesca.
She looks very much like you, yeah.
It was interesting that Rommel thought the kid in the picture looked
very
like
much
me.
Like you indeed.
The snapshots had been made by OSS photographers, and an early picture of me had been superimposed over the negative.
Very attractive family group. You know, Signor Donato, I've taken quite a fancy to you. Tell me, these chocolates you sell, are they any good?
Oh, si, they're very good.
Not desserts.
Oh, no.
No? Well, surely one or two of them would not be missed, huh? Is it all right with you if I send my adjutant to get one of the suitcases? Yes? We Germans and Italians must share.
No. It's perfectly all right. Only I will get them myself for you.
No, huh? No. There's no need. Major.
Yes,
go to the compartment and bring one of the signor's cases.
Yes, yes.
It is foolish to send him. Signor, I can easily go myself, you see.
No, I insist. We will have so little time for talking before the train stops at Milano.
I had no choice. I had to sit there and sweat it out. Just pray that the adjutant brought back the right case. I felt as if there were a band of steel around my head that kept getting tighter and tighter.
What is it, my friend? Are you not feeling well?
Oh, it is very hot in here, is it not?
Oh, yes, it is, unfortunately, yes. Perhaps I should call the conductor and have it. Oh, here. The major returns with your sample case.
The first thing I looked at when the major put the case in my lap was the handle. There was a long scar in the leather. It was the one with the radio.
You know, I've always had a fondness for chocolates. Well, come, open it. Well?
The catch, it seems to be stuck.
Well, surely you can fix it.
Oh, see, of course. That is, I will try.
Give it to me.
What?
I have an excellent little penknife. Perhaps I can adjust the lock.
No. I will get it in a moment. I'm sure.
I will.
Milano. This station is Milano.
Oh, Milano. That is my stop, Your Excellency.
Oh, so soon. What a pity.
Well, if you wish, I will stay on till the next station. For you. Take a bus back.
No. I would not think of it. It is too kind of you to suggest it. But we must say, auf Wiedersehen.
Arrivederle, Field Marshal Rommel. It has been a great honor. I hurried back to the compartment to get my coat and hat. And then on an impulse, I grabbed the other case off the rack, and as the train stopped, I turned and ran back toward the dining room.
Senor, this is Milan.
I know. I'm getting off in a minute. Un momento. Here, Field Marshal.
Senor Donato, I did not expect to see you back.
Your Excellency, if you will permit me, here is this case of chocolates.
Oh,
for you.
Oh, senor.
You see, the lock works now.
Thank you. Grazie. Molte grazie. If I pass through Milano, I will look you up.
I don't know where I'll be staying, sir.
It is not difficult for the police to find the man. Auf Wiedersehen.
And with this pleasant thought, I left him, glad to get off that train. You don't need OSS training to tell you when someone's following you. It's an instinctive feeling you get. I started to walk a little faster, and the footsteps behind me quickened too. I passed a small coffee shop, and through the reflection in the window, I could see coming after me the man in the dining car who had never taken his eyes off me. The dapper little guy with the mustache. He and Rommel had nodded to each other. Was it a signal? Did Rommel just try to string me along? I broke into a run.
Senor, stop!
I didn't intend to stop until I got past that gate. Then maybe I could lose him in the crowd.
I said wait! Wait! Stop him, somebody! Hand him up!
God, what are you doing? Open that gate!
I am sorry, Signora. This gate is closed. Now use the south gate.
But I can't...
I am sorry. This gate is closed.
Signor. I've had such trouble catching up with you.
Who are you?
Allow me to introduce myself. I'm the Count Pietro Imperiale.
What do you want with me?
Well, I noticed you were having coffee on the train with Field Marshal Rommel himself. I'm a great admirer of the Marshal, and I have a nodding acquaintance with him.
Oh, si? What has that to do with me?
Well, I happen to know, Signor, that Rommel does not make friends easily, and so when I saw you two together, Well, amico, would you do me the extreme honor of joining me at my palace for dinner this evening? It would be a great pleasure to entertain a good friend of Rommel's.
As the long black limousine drove up to the palace, I felt like a visitor of the Middle Ages. The gray stone steps were hollowed with age.
This way, senor.
The lower windows were blazing with light. And two torches set in brackets flanked the doors.
Quiet, Bobo, quiet, quiet.
The floors were made of colored marble. On the walls hung ancient tapestries with scenes from the Old Testament. I walked through, past a line of servants. My mouth was open at all this grandeur. And I walked right into a suit of armor. Excuse me.
Come, amico mio. Dinner is waiting.
That was a delicious dinner. Grazie, Cant Imperiale.
Molto bene, molto bene. I'm delighted you enjoyed it. Now, we will sit here in the library and talk of Rommel. Cigaro?
Grazie, no.
Tell me, what was he like? What did he say?
Oh, we merely exchanged pleasantries.
Great leader, great chief. Once when he was in Milan, I planned a reception
talk
for
and
him.
Kept looking but around the huge library.
He was unable to attend.
What a setup for a basketball game.
However,
well, this was being introduced to Milan in a royal way. What was that?
A little brandy?
Oh, no, grazie.
What is it, Bobo? What's the matter?
Good evening, Count Imperiale. They told me you were here.
You see, Bobo, it is only Antonia. Come, my dear. I would like you to meet a friend.
See?
Signor Giuseppe Donato, great friend of Rommel's.
My, I am impressed.
Piacere.
The pleasure is mine.
Che bella questa ragazza, no? My secretary is very pretty, non è vero?
Your lordship, there is a call on your private phone in the small library.
Oh, sì. I will return. It will give you two a chance to get acquainted, huh?
Quiet, Bobo.
È molto bella, signorina. You are very pretty. Count Imperiale was right.
Did you find yourself forced into that compliment, signor?
Oh, no, not at all. We Italians are proud of our beautiful women, and it is impossible not to notice how well you represent them.
Where do you live? In Milano?
No. I'm here on business.
Where are you staying?
Oh, I only arrived today. I've made no plans yet. You are the Count's secretary?
His personal secretary. Since the Count has passed on, I attend to all arrangements for his banquets and receptions, as well as his personal correspondence.
Oh, I see.
He is un gran signor. I am very fond of him. I remember how disappointed he was when Field Marshal Rommel failed to attend a reception he planned for him.
Oh, I know. He told me that.
He is a great admirer of Rommel. So am I. Tell me about him, signor. Does he intend to come to Milano soon? Perhaps we can plan something else in his honor.
I don't know his intentions.
Perhaps he is returning to Africa immediately.
I don't know that either.
Well, I see you two have become acquainted, huh? Molto bene.
Your lordship, since the signor is staying in Milano, shall I give him the name of a good hotel?
Hotel? With 40 rooms here, most of them empty? I should say not. You will stay here, amico mio, as long as you want.
Grazie. Molto gentile.
I'm very grateful.
They gave me a suite to myself with a tremendous canopied bed and a sculptured rug on the floor. Through the casement window, I could see the Piazza Sundial, the narrow streets of Milan, and off in the distance, the church of Santa Maria della Grazia. Who was going to look for an American spy in a setup like that, huh? Who's made to order? Every night, I patted the radio in the suitcase and hoped I'd have a message to send back soon. A few days later, Count Imperiale asked me to walk to his office with him.
Ah, this Italian summer makes me feel 10 years younger. You know, if I were 20 years younger, I would be more attentive to that dark-eyed secretary of mine.
I don't blame you.
She seems to have taken an interest in you.
Oh, that's so?
Si. She's keep on to ask questions about you.
See. You still have not told me why you want to see me at your office.
I refuse to speak business at home. I never do.
And your business? I don't know that either.
You will. Soon enough. Come. My office is in the municipal building across the square.
I followed him across the square, over the fat, pink cobblestones. Everywhere around me were black-shirted fascisti. I wondered if my good luck so far had made me too sure of myself. I followed him up the stairs of the municipal building, down the narrow corridor, and we stopped at a door third from the end. And then I knew what his business was. Superintendent of police.
Prego, I beg of you, please go in.
Count Imperiale, I don't understand.
Now you know my business. I am superintendent of police, often an unpleasant occupation. Come in. I said, come in. That's right. I wanted to see you here because it's necessary for us to have a little talk about you and the police.
What have I to do with the police?
How would you like to work for me? Now, come. Don't look so startled.
Work for you? As a member of the police?
But of course. Perhaps this communication from Rommel will explain.
Grazie.
As you can see, it's a request from him for me to locate you in Milano and offer you this position. He's obviously very fond of you. Great Chief Rommel. And he knows how badly you feel about your medical classification in the army.
I don't know what to say.
Well, just to say you accept. Ordinarily, of course, I would have to make extensive research into your background before offering you this position, but a personal recommendation from Rommel hardly makes that necessary. Well, what do you say, amico mio?
What do you think I said? I said yes in a hurry. And when I left the office later, I had a badge and everything. Ever since I boarded the train at Varese, I had one bad scare after another. But so far, nothing had happened. I was beginning to feel I led a charmed life. Until I got back to my suite at the palace.
Quiet, Bobo.
Antonia! What are you doing with that suitcase?
These are excellent chocolates. Will you have one?
What right have you in here?
I was curious about you. I found out I had reason to be curious. I'd like you to meet two friends, Giacomo and Mario.
For the first time I saw them, two men standing half hidden in the shadows of the big room. And on the chair before Antonia was my suitcase. She turned it around so I could see the inside. The backing was off. The radio was gone. Who are these men? What is this?
Non ha paura. Do not be afraid. Antonia was right when she said we were friends.
But
this was a foolhardy place to leave your radio, Americano. I found a better hiding place in the wall safe of an unused room in the palace. It is all right, Signor Donato. We are partisans, members of the underground.
You just stand there and tell me this?
Why not? Your American radio has given us proof of who you are. No doubt you want proof of who we are. Escolta.
I'm listening.
We will tell you all that you came here to find out. All you have to do is to ask and we will answer. We will answer even before you ask.
The Nazis are using northern Italy as a supply base for the Afrika Korps. In fact, Rommel is expecting air reinforcements to leave here at the end of the week.
How many planes?
75 bombers.
Where are they?
In a field at Caravaggio, 10 miles west.
You emptied my valise. There was an altitude bomb there. Did you find it?
Is this what you mean?
Yes. Is there anyone in the underground who can duplicate it?
The professor of chemistry in the University of Milano is a friend.
What? You see, if you remove the pin from these bombs and plant them in an airplane, they'll explode automatically when the ship gains altitude.
We will let you know when you can see the fireworks.
Another bit of information.
See.
It might interest you to know that you have been talking to a member of the Fascisti secret police.
Antonia, you look more lovely than ever this evening.
Buenas tardes, my lord. And grazie.
And you, amico, where are you going?
For a drive, sir.
How wonderful it must be to be young again, especially in the summer. Well, go. Enjoy yourselves.
Oh, we will. We are sure we will.
It is fortunate the Count did not invite himself along.
You're sure we can see everything from this hilltop?
Very sure. When the planes take off from Caravaggio, after midnight, we will see them.
It's cool up here on this hill.
Not cool enough to offer you an excuse to put your arm around me.
Oh, you remember what the Count said. We are young. It is summer.
Signor, this is business. Scotta. Listen.
The planes. They are taking off. Any minute now. Any minute.
What if something happened? What if they weren't able to plant those bombs? What if...
What if, eh? Although this seems a poor way to repay Rommel for his hospitality. Rommel didn't get his 75 Luftwaffe bombers. No sky protection, and that played a part when he was thrown back from El Alamein a short month later. The OSS continued to get total information on northern Italy, supply concentrations, troop movements, and underground activities. Each time police triangulation detected my radio antenna, I, as a member of the secret police, would lead a raid, having first, as a member of the underground, moved into another spot. And then one day, the Americans took over Milan. I walked into G2 headquarters to give them a personal welcome.
What do you mean, just walking into my office like this? Sergeant, who is this guy?
I'm sorry, Major, I couldn't stop him. By the black shirt he's wearing, whoever he is, I don't like him.
Now, wait a minute. You boys got me wrong. What I came to
What's
tell you...
What's your name?
Donato. Lieutenant Giuseppe... Joe Donato. Look, you don't understand. I'm a member of the OSS.
Yeah, sure, he's a member. Look, Mac...
That's enough, Sergeant. Donato, according to our list, you're a high-ranking member of the Fascisti Police. Thanks for giving yourself up.
I'm not giving myself up.
That's what you think, Mac.
I tell you, I'm a member of the OSS.
We have your full record, Donato. In his own reports to Fascisti headquarters, Count Imperiale thought very highly of you.
I don't care what he thought.
And in the files, we found a personal recommendation from Rommel about you. A personal recommendation from Rommel, and you expect us to believe you're a member of the OSS?
But you...
Take him away, Sergeant. Throw him in jail.
You can't do this to me. I'll write to my congressman. Hey, come back. I demand to see someone in authority. Let me out of here. I stand on my constitutional rights. Let me out of here.
Get up.
A week later, OSS in London sent verification on Lieutenant Joseph Donato, and an embarrassed G2 headquarters released him from jail. Thus, once again, the report of another agent closed with the words,
"Mission accomplished."
Listen again next week for another true adventure from the files of OSS on...
Cloak and Dagger.
Heard in today's Cloak and Dagger adventure as Joe was Ralph Bell, Rommel, Barry Kroger, the Count, Arnold Moss, Antonia, Jan Miner, the Colonel, Raymond Edward Johnson. Others were Boris Applin, Jerry Jarrett, and Carl Weber. The script was written by Winifred Wolfe and Jack Gordon. The music was under the direction of John Gart. Today's true OSS adventure was based on the book Cloak and Dagger by Corey Ford and Alistair McBain. This program is directed by Lewis G. Cowan and Alfred Hollander under the direction and supervision of Sherman Marks. Programs, get your programs here. Action and adventure are yours tonight. $1,000 reward offers a mystery for you to solve at home for a $3,000 cash prize, followed by The Corpse Said Ouch, tonight's case on the Saint, and then Sam Spade solves another exciting caper, searching for the bell King Solomon used to call his wives. That's tonight on NBC. Now stay tuned for High Adventure and the Big Guy on NBC.
Thank you, lads. This is, that was Cloak and Dagger, a recommendation from Rommel. Kind of amusing ending there. I had really nothing to do with Rommel and his tank prowess in Northern Africa. That was, the original air date was the 6th of July, 1950. Coming up next, I'm going to have a Western. We got some new CD players here this morning, so let me give these a try. We have a Gunsmoke coming up here. After me a moment, we'll fulfill an FCC obligation starting pretty soon, pretty quickly here.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. As I mentioned, we have a Gunsmoke coming up. This is episode 105, titled Murder Warrant. An original air date of the 24th of April, 1954. My name is Arthur, and you are listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
A doc wants you upstairs.
Well, I promised Mr. Green I'd be at the Dodge House in a few minutes, Chester. Tell Doc I'll drop along later, huh?
Young Lee Prentice is up there. He got shot last night.
What? Shot?
Yes, sir. Happened out at his ranch. Doc thinks you ought to talk to him.
All right, let's go. I wouldn't have thought Lee Prentice had an enemy in the world.
No, sir. He's about the nicest young fellow that's settled around here in a long time.
Who brought him into town, Chester?
Nobody didn't. He rode in alone.
Oh.
Doc don't know how he managed it.
Oh, hello, Matt.
Doc. Well, I hear you took a bullet, Lee.
It's not bad, Marshal. Doc's got me all fixed up now.
Yeah, sure. But you're going to stay right here with me and take it easy for a few days, Lee.
I'd be putting you out, Doc.
Oh, yes, of course. It'll be a nuisance, but I'll manage somehow.
How did it happen, Lee? Did you get in a fight?
I didn't even see him, Marshal. It was still dark this morning, and I was going out after my horses. And then a bullet knocked me down. That's all I know. I did an awful lot of shooting the next few minutes, and whoever it was run off.
Yeah. Would it be any particular man, Lee?
I'd tell you if I knew, Marshal. I don't want any trouble.
All right, I believe you.
Oh, Matt, it's a downright shame when a young fella like Lee comes to Dodge and in 1 year makes as many friends as he has and then gets shot down by some murderer. Now, you're going to find out who did that.
I don't have much to go on, Doc. In fact, I don't have anything.
Well, I don't care. You got to do something. Now,
like what?
Well, what do you mean, lawman? I'm not a lawman. How do I know?
Well, there's one thing, Doc, and you too, Chester.
What, Mr. Dillon?
Don't say anything about where Lee is. Whoever did this is probably still around.
Well, you mean he might come up here and try to finish him off?
He might.
Chester, You go fetch me one of those shotguns you keep downstairs.
Sure, Doc.
Okay, Doc, but don't get trigger happy, huh?
I know what I'm doing.
Doc, Marshal, I'm sure sorry for all the trouble I'm causing.
It's no trouble, Lee.
Oh, it's no trouble, he's... Oh, all right, Matt. You go find him something to eat later this afternoon and bring it up here. A nice, roast chicken. That'd be just about right.
Sure, Doc. I'll be glad to.
Yeah, I'd...
See you later, Lee. Come on, Chester.
I'm glad I ran into you, Matt. It was a good supper.
It was all my pleasure, Kitty.
Matt.
Yeah, what?
Have you got time to sit here and watch the crowd for a while? I don't have to be back at work just yet.
Sure, Kitty. Yeah, you sit there.
Looks like Dodge is in for another big night tonight.
Yeah, I suppose.
Just think. There's hardly one of these cowboys that won't be broke before morning.
Well, they figure it's worth it.
3 months' pay in one night? They're crazy, all of them.
Well, what would you have them do with their money, Kitty?
Well, I don't know. Most anything's better than throwing it away.
Well, most of these men have waited a long time for a night or two in Dodge. They don't care what it costs.
There's only one cowboy I ever knew who showed any sense.
Oh? That must be quite a fella for you to say that, Kitty.
Well, you know who I mean, Matt. Young Lee Prentice.
Oh. Oh, sure.
Remember last year how he drifted into town and made a killing at faro and then swore off gambling?
Yeah, he stayed with it, too. I never heard of his going near a game since.
Oh, he hasn't. Took his money and put it in that little ranch of his. You gotta admire the boy.
Yeah, Lee's all right.
He's sure a lot different from the rest of these saddle bums. I wonder where he's been lately. He usually comes to town every day or so.
Well, Kitty, I'll tell you. Lee's up at Doc's.
At Doc's? Then he is in town.
Oh, he's been there for a couple of days.
Well, what's the matter? Is he sick or something?
No, he's not sick.
Oh, wait a minute, Matt. Hey, mister. Yeah, you. Come here.
What do you want?
I'm Kitty. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, you don't act like it. You must have been drunker than I thought.
I'm in a hurry, Kitty.
Well, go on, then. I won't tell you.
Tell me what?
You remember asking me last night if I know anything about Lee Prentice?
Did I?
You really were drunk. But if you're still interested, Marshal Dillon here just told me he's up at Doc Adams.
Oh. Well, I don't need him now. Bye. Oh, just a minute, mister. You're a stranger in Dodge, huh? I'll talk to you later, Marshal. Not now.
What do you mean, later?
After I've done what I come here for.
What's your name, mister?
Jake Harbin.
You look like a gunman to me. Why are you looking for Lee Prentice?
All right, Marshal, if you're so nosy, I'll tell you. I'm going to kill him.
No, you're not.
You can't stop me. Jake, Harbin, huh?
What'd you hit him for, Matt? What's this all about?
I don't know, Kitty. But maybe I'll find out when he comes to in jail.
You're here early this morning, Mr. Dillon.
Go bring Jake Harbin in here, Chester, will you? I want to talk to him.
Yes, sir. He's been saying he wants to talk to you, too. He wouldn't tell me nothing. Don't stick my nose into something that don't concern me. It's all he'd say, no matter what I ask.
Marshal's here, Harbin.
Well, it's about time.
Here he is, Mr. Dillon.
Come over here, Harbin.
You'd have saved yourself a lot of trouble if you'd have stayed around here last night, Marshal. What do you mean by cold cocking a man, throwing him in jail?
Where are you from, Harbin?
Baker City.
Oh, down on the Canadian River?
Yeah. Anybody goes to jail in Baker City, they search him first.
Now, what do you mean?
You'd have searched me last night, you'd have found this.
What is it?
Read it. And afterwards, you can apologize to me.
What is it, Mr. Dillon?
It's a warrant, Chester.
And that also says I'm a legal deputy. You can telegraph Ben Goddard for proof if you want.
Who's Ben Goddard?
He's the sheriff at Baker City. That's all legal, Marshal.
Yeah, but who's the warrant for, Mr. Dillon?
Lee Prentice, Chester. For murder. They want him dead or alive.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, any way you look at it, it's murder this Tuesday night when CBS Radio's Mr. and Mrs. North look into the matter of a body that hurtled 30 stories from penthouse to sidewalk. And it's murder, too, when a publicity stunt involving presumably blank cartridges backfires. The details of that neat little plot are very truly yours on Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Also Tuesday night on most of these same stations. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go down and send a telegram to the sheriff of Baker City. Now, what'd you say his name is, Harbin?
Ben Goddard.
All right. Ask Ben Goddard to verify this warrant for Lee Prentice. And also ask him if Jake Harbin here is a legal deputy.
You'll find out, Marshal.
I expect we will, Harbin. Get going, Chester.
Yes, sir. I'll hurry.
This, warrant says Lee Prentice is wanted for murder, Harbin. It's kind of hard to believe, knowing Lee.
Well, then you don't know him very well, Marshal. Because he is a murderer, all right. And he'd have been caught a long time ago if they'd have found out where he was hiding.
He hasn't been hiding. Lee's lived here for nearly a year.
Right out in the open.
And so?
He's all through now.
Maybe, if this is true. I want to tell you one thing, Harvin.
You tell me what?
Nobody, whether he's a deputy or not, is going to come to Dodge and kill a man.
Dead or alive, Marshal, you read the warrant.
I don't care what it says.
You wouldn't like it said that you're protecting a murderer, would you, Marshal?
Well, I don't know that he is a murderer yet. But you came pretty close to being one.
I was going to explain it to you after I killed him. I didn't want no interference.
Well, you got it now. What kind of law do they have in Baker City? Don't they ever give men a trial down there?
Sure they do.
Why didn't you come here and arrest Lee and take him back with you? Are they afraid to put him on trial?
Not hardly, Marshal.
That they hired a killer like you to come up here and shoot him, huh?
Look, it's all legal.
In Baker City, maybe it is, but not in Dodge.
Well, the law's the same everywhere. Ain't it?
It should be, Harvin. But sometimes it depends on who's representing the law.
Well, I don't aim to argue with you.
Now, look, let's get one thing straight. You're not going to shoot Lee Prentice no matter what happens. I'll kill you myself if you try it.
Okay. Okay, Marshal. Why don't you talk to him? Being as you are such good friends, ask him how he'd like to stand trial.
I will, Harbin. But you stay away from him.
You hear? Why, sure, Marshal. I'm just trying to do my duty.
Marshal?
How you feeling, Lee?
Fine. Doc says I can leave anytime.
As long as he doesn't try to do any hard work for another week or so.
I'll take it easy, Doc.
You better.
Lee, did you ever hear of a man called Jake Harbin?
Harbin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Well, he's the man who tried to kill you.
What? How do you know?
He's here as a deputy with a warrant for you. Dead or alive. A warrant signed by the sheriff of Baker City.
Oh. What's the warrant for, Marshal?
Murder. But it didn't say who.
No. It didn't have to. Not if Ben Goddard signed it. It's for the murder of Jim Turner, Marshal.
Oh? How did you do it, Lee?
I killed him. He tried to shoot me in the back and missed.
Well, that doesn't exactly make it murder, does it?
His old man owns Baker City, Doc, and he owns the sheriff and Jake Harbin along with it. That makes it murder.
Oh, I see.
Is that why you left Baker City, Lee?
They'd have killed me if I hadn't.
Oh, what if you go back there and stand trial?
Old man Turner'd run that trial, Marshal. I'd hang sure. No, I won't go back. I'll die here first.
Well, I don't blame him, Matt. Why, it'd be legal murder, that's what.
It isn't legal to fix a trial and hang an innocent man, Doc.
That's what had happened, though.
You're not thinking of turning him over to this so-called deputy, are you, Matt?
Look, Lee, I believe you, and I trust you.
Thanks, Marshal.
Now, tell me something. Do you trust me?
Well, sure do. Of course. Why?
Well, you may not like what I'm going to do.
What, Marshal?
I'm putting you under arrest, Lee, right now.
Under arrest? What for?
No, I don't know. Horse thieving?
Horse thieving?
Eat, oh, man.
It'll do. You're my prisoner now, Lee. My prisoner. Now, come on, let's go to jail.
I don't know. I like being a horse thief, Marshal.
Well, it beats being a murderer, Lee. And besides, I kind of doubt that we'll hang you for it.
Marshal.
What?
Look, there's Jake Harmon.
Yeah, I see him.
I'd feel safer if you gave me my gun back.
Prisoners can't carry guns, Lee. It wouldn't look right.
Lee Prentice! Well, Lee, the marshal talked you to coming back to Baker City and standing trial.
Still on old man Turner's payroll, ain't you, Jake?
I don't take no back talk from no murderer.
Why'd you try to ambush me the other morning, Jake? Afraid to face me?
I got a warrant for you, dead or alive. Why should I take any chances? Nobody cares how you die.
I care, Harbin.
Well, you can't stand in the way of a legal warrant, Marshal. And you'll see as soon as you get that telegram from the sheriff.
It's too late, Harbin.
What's too late?
I just arrested Lee myself. He's my prisoner now.
You what?
And as long as he's my prisoner, nobody touches him, warrant or no.
You're being tricky, Marshal. What'd you arrest him for? He ain't done nothing.
Might be hard to prove, but anyway, I'm holding him for horse thieving. Now get out of the way. I'm taking him to jail.
You're forgetting I can kill him anytime I want for free. Like right now, maybe.
Doc Lee.
Are you hit, Lee?
No. But it was mighty close, Marshal.
I didn't think he'd try it.
You got him just in time. The next shot, he'd have killed me.
They sure don't care much how they do things where you come from, do they, Lee?
There's going to be trouble now, Marshal. Real trouble.
It seemed only fair to let the sheriff of Baker City know that his deputy had been killed. So I sent him another telegram. And I soon got a reply. Ben Goddard himself was coming to Dodge. The day he was due to arrive, I sent Chester to the stage while Lee Prentice and I waited in the lobby of the Dodge House, along with a couple of friends who thought it might be interesting to see how Sheriff Goddard was going to handle the situation. The stage pulled in about noon, and a few minutes later, Chester and the sheriff walked into the hotel lobby where we were standing.
Here he is, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Sheriff.
You're Marshal Dillon.
And this is Mr. Green. He owns the Dodge House.
Hi, Sheriff.
And Mr. Jonas, one of our leading businessmen.
Good day, Sheriff. Gentlemen, nice to know you.
And you know Lee Prentice.
I sure do.
You're going to a lot of trouble, Goddard. You and old man Turner.
It's worth it. Getting you back where you belong. You'll hang sure now.
Lee didn't kill Jake Harbin, Sheriff.
Oh?
I did.
What?
He tried to shoot Lee in the back.
What difference it makes? He's wanted, dead or alive. What are you interfering this for, Marshal? You got no respect for the law?
Not for your kind of law. Anyway, Lee's wanted in Dodge, and he's staying here.
What about my warrant? You're claiming it ain't legal?
You can't arrest a man that I've got under arrest.
You're protecting him, ain't you? What'd you arrest him for?
Stealing horses?
I don't believe it.
I'm bringing the charges, Sheriff. It was my horses he stole.
Well, I thought you owned this hotel, Green. What are you doing with horses?
Well, I also own a little ranch outside of town. I raise horses.
Maybe, but I know you're lying about Lee.
Am I?
Of course you are. Marshal Dillon, you ain't very smart.
No.
You'll have to bring Lee to trial, won't you?
Of course.
You think Green here is going to swear to that story under oath?
Well, you may be right, Sheriff. I might have to change my mind once I get on the stand. It might be I couldn't swear to it.
I didn't think so. That trial won't last long, and when it's over, I'll take Lee back to Baker City.
Marshal Dillon...
Yes, Mr. Jonas, what is it?
There's something I haven't mentioned.
Oh?
I kind of figured I'd wait till Lee's trial was over before I did.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Jonas.
Well, the other day, Lee came into my store.
and I went out back to fetch him a sack of grain.
Is that so?
And he didn't know I was watching, but I was. And I saw him take a handful of money out of my cash box.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Mr. Jonas, are you charging Lee with robbery?
No, not yet, Marshal. I'll wait and see if he gets off for horse stealing first.
Well, Lee, looks like you're in for nothing but trials and rearrests and more trials. Yeah, it could go on for a long, long time.
As long as his friends hold out, Marshal, and Lee's got quite a few of them in Dodge.
Why, you're a pack of crooks cheating the law, that's what you are. Including you, Marshal.
My prisoner, Sheriff.
I won't stand for it, I tell you.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Wait till I tell old man Turner about this.
You won't dare tell him, Goddard. You're licked and you know it. Turner would have you run out of town if you're fool enough to go back.
Marshal, I got to take Lee. I got to...
It's Lee's life or your job, huh? All right, Sheriff, take him. But you'll have to kill me first. Or there's a train east in about an hour. So make up your mind, Sheriff.
Want me to follow him, Mr. Dillon?
No, Chester, he'll leave.
Marshal, gentlemen, I wish I knew how to tell you.
Lee.
Yes, Marshal?
Go on home. But remember, you're still under arrest. And you're gonna stay that way. Till old man Turner's in his grave.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Lawrence Dobkin, John Daner, Joe Duval, and James Nusser. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
There you have it. Gunsmoke. Murder Warrant was the title of this, episode 105, with an original air date of the 24th of April, 1954. And I could tell that was John Daner in there. That gentleman seemed to be in every Western. If you missed the first half of the show, I played Cloak and Dagger. A recommendation from Rommel, which was kind of a comedy in a way at the end. That had an original air date of the 6th of July, 1950. Then Cloak and Dagger was actually a book written about OSS operatives, and they adapted the stories to the radio drama, whereas Gunsmoke was strictly written for radio. You've been listening to Arthur here on 91.5 FM. And or WMFO.org. The show is The Grand Hour. You heard every Wednesday morning from 5 to 6 a.m. Thanks for listening. I don't know if Carte Blanche Breakfast is up next. So I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do this. Put you on automation. Thanks for listening.